Friends, it's good to be with you again and join in our service this morning of Lord's Supper. If you're visiting or new, it's great that you're able to be with us today. So let me pray. Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your kindness and mercy to us. And we pray, Lord, that you may overrule our hearts and minds so that we may be inclined to your word and to live it out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mahalia Jackson was a leading gospel singer in the 20th century. She loved the hymns of what she used to say, old Dr. Watts. So one Christmas, a blizzard stopped her on the way to a performance. So she rang the venue and sung over the phone for 30 minutes, and of course included a hymn of Dr. Watts, one of her favourites, Joy to the World. And of course that hymn spotlights the joy of Christ's birth for the world. The words are actually based on Psalm 98, and musically the carol has links to Handel's Messiah. So you may recall the angel's words to the shepherds after Jesus' birth says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, as Luke records it. After a pandemic year, I think joy's probably in short supply. But I wonder if the underlying problem is people search for joy in all the wrong places. See, Christmas really is a season full of joy. Just look at any of the commercials on TV advertising products. They're wanting people to bubble over, aren't they? Christmas really is an annual reminder of where to look for true joy. And of course, one of the ways we celebrate the joy of Christmas is by singing carols. A favourite carol of many is the 18th century carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. It begins on a note of triumphant joy. O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. And as you sing the carol, the reason for this joy becomes more and more obvious, doesn't it? Come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem, Jesus to thee be glory given. Word of the Father now in flesh appearing, O come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. But there's also a 14th century carol that echoes this same leading theme of joy, the joy of Christmas. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave, peace, peace. Jesus Christ was born to save, called you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting hall. Christ was born to save, Christ was born to save. There's a sense in which Christmas isn't Christmas without carol singing, at least for Christians. For in carols we celebrate the true joy, the joy of the Christmas child. So let's revisit that first Christmas to grasp why we can celebrate with real and lasting joy. So turn with me to the passage that Matt read from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and following. Last week, we were introduced to Matthew's account of Jesus, to the Christmas preparations that God initiated, then gave expression in Old Testament promises and put into action throughout the centuries. And those opening verses of Matthew highlight that. So as Matthew's account begins, we sense an air of excitement for God's fulfilling his plan and purposes for the Christmas child. And so we read in verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. It's obvious that Mary's child is special. If the conception is the result of the Holy Spirit's activity, that is, it's a virgin birth, how could the child be anything but special? Yet understandably in the situation, Joseph has some difficulty with Mary's pregnancy. So let's sort of do a bit of Christmas in review. Rewind the tape. Recall how Joseph, a carpenter from the small northern village of Nazareth, is pledged to be married to Mary. Now that means more than an engagement. It's a legally binding commitment that could only be broken through divorce. But Mary's pregnant and Joseph's not the father. That's quite a challenge to think about beginning marriage that way. That's if it's still going to go ahead. Though Joseph doesn't know it yet, this birth is no ordinary birth. It's a birth under God's sovereignty, a birth miraculously brought about by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, a well-read Jew would realize that the promised age has come, the age of the Messiah, marked by the Spirit's activity. Yet it appears that it's all too much for Joseph, isn't it? Verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. That really is the sense of being faithful to the law, to God's law. And so did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But Joseph hadn't counted on God's intervention. So God now lets him in to the secret, as we read from verse 20. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, it's quite a test for Joseph, isn't it? Imagine you were Joseph. It's really stretching your trust in God, isn't it? Because he's got to deal with a community and their disapproval over sex before marriage. He's got to now start married life, knowing that Mary's miraculously conceived a son through the Spirit's work. And what does that exactly mean? As well, I'm sure this thought would have gone through his head. It certainly would have gone through mine. How do we raise a special child like this? Knowing he's supposed to be the Saviour? And not fully grasping how he might save people from their sins? And it's not just going to be Israel, it's going to extend to the world if Abraham's promises are going to be fulfilled. Yet, it all takes place as God has said. And so we confidently sing in carols, don't we? Yes, Lord, we greet you, born for our salvation, Jesus, to be glory given, word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. And remember that Joseph's told to name this specially conceived child Jesus. It's the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew Joshua. God saves. For Jesus will bring in God's promised salvation and Israel's longed for hope. Yet Jesus won't achieve this salvation by some military act, nor by a blanket word of forgiveness that simply forgets all sin, nor will he act without true justice for all the hurt and pain and evil in the world. So friends, Jesus comes to save according to the very character of God and God's purposes. Hence, justice must be enacted. Judgment on sin must be carried out, because God is a holy God. And it will be accomplished by Jesus the Messiah doing the unexpected. For he'll die in the place of guilty sinners, taking their punishment upon himself, the punishment that all sinners deserve for rebelling against God. So just as Jesus' birth is no ordinary birth, so too will be his death, for his sacrifice will atone for our sin, bringing lasting forgiveness. So it's no surprise to find our carol celebrating Christ's death and resurrection, as well as talking about the birth of Jesus, isn't it? Hence we rejoice with, "Come, O long-expected Jesus, born to set your people free. From our fears and sins release us, Christ in whom our rest shall be." Or again, "O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born to us today." We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. "O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel." You see, as God reassures Joseph by sending the angel comes to explain the situation. And as that happens, Joseph's given insight into the purpose of Jesus. And hence the reason we keep celebrating Christmas. You know, the why we all need hope and joy and power for our lives. And the reason is driven by a simple three-lettered word, sin. So let's backtrack to the time when Isaiah lived. He lived at a time when the nation had been split into two, caused by the sins of pride and selfishness. And so Isaiah, as God's spokesman, is called to focus on Israel's sin, their rebellion. And that's particularly the case in the first half of the book, chapters 1 to 39. It's like the Old Testament, all summarized in one go. And so he begins his message from the Lord with these words in chapter 1. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. And as he goes on, it paints an even blacker picture. He says, woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. You see, right from the very beginning of Isaiah, he's posing this question. Is there any hope for sinful Israel? And Israel's situation is so bad, God won't even listen to their prayers. He won't accept their sacrifices. You see, there's no way Israel could save themselves. No means that they could use to get right with God. Friends, it's no different for us either, nor anyone else across the globe, across history. But by the time you get to chapter 40, Isaiah will begin a much more thoroughgoing message of good news. But along the way, there are hints of this good news. Because God still loves his people. And because of that, he'll rescue them. How will he rescue them? By sending a Redeemer who'll bring real and lasting hope, overflowing with joy. And this Redeemer will be Emmanuel, the coming Messiah, the coming Christ. So again, it's no surprise our carols echo this longing for hope that we find in the Old Testament. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, who mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appear. O come, true branch of Jesse, free your children from this tyranny. From depths of hell your people save, to raise victorious from the grave, to pierce the shadows of the tomb. For the judgment of sin is death. And we need a hope to lift us out of that. A certain hope. A certain hope that comes from the branch of Jesse. Again from Isaiah 11, the root of Jesse, the Son of God coming. Friends, the joy and hope of Christmas is magnified when we realise the mess sin brings in its wake. And this joy and hope aren't limited to Jews. They're available for everyone who turns to the Christmas child, the baby born in Bethlehem's manger. The pandemic that we've experienced and continue to experience, in a sense, really pictures the effects of sin in our world. See, it's a state affecting everyone right across the globe. And we don't need to catch the virus to feel its effects. Everything from lockdowns to social distances to contact tracing to mask wearing to border closures to knowing people who are suffering or have died. I think one of the top Christmas presents this year is specially crafted face masks. We just got one in the mail the other day. You see, the world isn't the same place it was last year. Yet we also know, when we honestly look inside ourselves, that we see sin. Sin and its consequent harm. They are travelling companions. And those companions may express themselves with hurtful words we can't take back once spoken, with racial attitudes segregating communities, with relationship-breaking behaviour infecting families, all that come to surface during Christmas, which should be a time of joy and happiness and hope. Is it any wonder that we long for that hope, for that joy, for that transforming power in our lives to deal with our past, the past in the depths of our heart that we cry over, to reshape our lives to cope with the present and all its difficulties? I hope to reshape our lives into the future to give us a purpose that even death can't frustrate. A hope and joy and power to redirect our lives from selfish preoccupation with my own wants and goals and self-fulfillment towards a selfless care and love for others. It's there again in things being advertised at the moment, isn't it? Have you seen that ad for this new app, byline being Change the World? You have this app and you round up your purchases and then you can give to any charities, and that will obviously conquer climate change. It'll conquer all the inequalities in the world. Recall these words of Dr. Watts's hymn. Joy to the world, the Saviour reigns. Let songs be heard on high. Repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow wherever guilt is found. Friends, the message revealed to Joseph about this Christmas child is the good news for all people everywhere. The good news that every single person truly needs. It's the only thing that can really make sense of our lives. It's the only thing that can help us to understand the world we live in. It's the only thing that provides a way into truth and grace and righteousness and secures us in a love that will never leave us nor desert us. Is it any wonder we really long for Christmas? And those whose journey now is hard, whose hope is burning low, listen to the news of love which make the heavens ring. Rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. Friends, our passage in Matthew 1 ends on a note of Joseph's faithfulness. We read, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Friends, here is now God dwelling among his people. Here is the Messiah coming to save his people. What a blessing to share in the fulfillment of God's promises stretching way back through King David and up through to Abraham. Christmas isn't Christmas without carol singing. But carols aren't true and lasting carols without a centre in the Christ of Christmas. So as Christmas 2020 draws near, will our Christmas be a joy-filled hope grounded in the transformed life of Christ. Can we sing these favourite carols with a heartfelt longing that's found its hope? Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light. Radiant beams from your holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord at your birth. O come, all you faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Let me pray. Dear God, we thank you again that in your love and mercy you sent Jesus. You didn't leave us in our hopeless, floundering state of rebellion, but rather acted in love to redeem us, to fulfill all your plans and purposes from the beginning of time, so that we may know you and live eternally with you, only through Jesus. Father, we pray for those who have not come to know Jesus, that this Christmas may be a time when they will see Jesus and repent and turn unto him. And we ask this in his name. Amen.